May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So on that first Pentecost, the gathered crowd thought that the disciples were drunk. But they weren't drunk, at least not with spirits. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were set on fire with passion and energy and prophecy, for a God that they feared might have left them for good. Just 10 days before, they had witnessed their teacher and friend and Lord ascend before their eyes, ascend back to God in heaven. And so for 10 days, they prayed and worshiped and waited and wondered, what is next? And then what's next happens. Rather suddenly, too, God's Spirit is poured out. The Father's promise is fulfilled. Pentecost has long been a special day in the church. It's one of the oldest holidays still celebrated by the Christian church because it marks this moment when God becomes not located in just one time or one place or one person. It's a moment when God's presence is poured out on all people. Now, today is also a special day at St. Stephen's because we will witness the confirmation or affirmation of baptism of one of our young people, Ryan. After 2 whole years of confirmation class, weekly lessons and homework and projects and the occasional quiz, our congregation will witness Ryan's decision to affirm the promises that were made over him by adults on the day of his baptism. And speaking of the occasional quiz, I have to admit, there was one quiz that I made the confirmation class, not just Ryan, but the whole class, retake 3 times this year. I made them retake it 3 times because I was afraid that they weren't getting it. And in the end, I have to admit, I still was not really satisfied with their answers. Yep, I'm a pretty mean, strict teacher. I had the students take and retake this quiz because at the heart of that one lesson was what I felt was the most important lesson they could learn in all of confirmation class. It was the one thing that I wanted Ryan to take away from his 2 years in class, even if he forgot everything else. You see, what I've been trying to teach Ryan, above all, for these last 2 years, is not church history. It's not Bible stories. It's not Lutheran theology. It's not even how to be a good Christian or a good person. Of course, that's all been a part of it. That's all been a part of our lessons, but that's not the goal. If Ryan remembers just one thing from our lessons, I don't want it to be some nugget of Reformation history or Lutheran theology or how to be kind together to others or even, it pains me to say, or even our beloved Bible stories. What I've tried to teach Ryan above all, what I want him to remember if he forgets everything else, is that he is loved. That he is loved by God truly and deeply, more faithfully than he can ever hope to love God in return. And that he has done nothing, not one thing, to earn this love of God. It is given to him freely, as a gift. And because it's given to him as a gift, because he hasn't earned it, there is nothing he can ever do to unearn it either. Nothing will ever take this love of God away. I sense that this freely given, freely poured out love is at the center of our Pentecost stories today too. A remarkable story of prophecy, a valley filled with bones. The Spirit of God breathed into what is dead to make it living again. The Spirit of God breathed into a hopeless people to give them hope. God can love and care for even the most dire and hopeless case. Jesus preparing to leave his disciples for the first time in death, knowing they will need strength and guidance and so much more in the days and years to come. The promise that God's Spirit will continue to speak to them even when he's gone, to testify to the reality of God's love in Christ Jesus. The story of the first Pentecost, read at the beginning of our worship today, that long-awaited promised Spirit poured out on the diverse and unlikely crowd gathered in Jerusalem for the Festival of Weeks. A crowd from all over what was at that time the whole known world. The crowd was bewildered, says Acts, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. At Pentecost, we see God affirm a diversity of languages and a diversity of people. As Peter predicts in words of the prophets Joel, no people will be immune to the moving of this Spirit. It will be poured out on all flesh without distinguishing who it's supposed to be for, on sons and daughters, on the slave and the free, on young and on old. God's love will no longer be limited to one people, one place, one time. Maybe it never was. From this miraculous beginning on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God, the word about Jesus, the good news of God's love for all people, it's going to begin to spread rapidly throughout the known world. Like no other belief system before it, the way, as Christianity is first called, will spread like wildfire. The apostles will soon leave Jerusalem and will travel throughout the known world spreading the good news. This message is going to take hold in a mighty and powerful way. It will be embraced by women and men, by slaves and their masters, by both Jews and Greeks with their different religions and worldviews, by Roman citizens and by foreigners, all classes of society. New Christians and new leaders will be formed and will take this good news to new places. It's a little ironic that this good news of God's love will spread so quickly in a world of division and hate and violence. A world where strict class systems dominate the structures of society, where war is a way of life, where the needs of people are often so great and so greatly ignored, where the blood of the Colosseum goes for entertainment, and the sight of a crucifixion is not an unfamiliar one. Perhaps this message of God's love in Jesus spread like wildfire because people needed it. People needed to hear it. Because it was a strange message of life in a world of death, of acceptance and unity in a world of division, of a gift given freely in a world where everything could be bought and sold, a message of love in a world of hate. So too do we need that message today. Our world is not so different. There is much death and division. Meaning is made by what we can buy and sell. There is violence, certainly, and hatred. In the days of the way, the Spirit spread the message of God's love like wildfire, bringing new life to dry bones and hope to people who had never known hope before. That same Spirit moves among us today, continuing to give such life and love and hope. That Spirit, that movement of the love of God, that is what I want Ryan, and that is what I want you to know today. that even amidst all of this, you are loved. And there is nothing that you did to earn it. And there's nothing you can do to unearn it either. The Spirit of God, the love of God, moves freely among all people. I wanted Ryan to take this one message away from confirmation class, not only because I believe it will lead him to live a more happier and more fulfilled life for many years to come, but I wanted Ryan to take this one message away because that is what makes a mature Christian. Knowing that you are unconditionally and even undeservedly loved. And forming young people into mature Christians is kind of what you're supposed to do in confirmation class, after all. What makes a mature Christian isn't knowing the Ten Commandments inside and out and following Luther's explanation of them to a T. It isn't memorizing the Apostles' Creed or the Lord's Prayer. It isn't even being good. What makes us mature Christians is an understanding that we are loved by God no matter what, no matter who we are, that it comes to all people as the Spirit came to all flesh on that day of Pentecost, and that there is nothing we can do to earn this love of God. It is given to us freely and wildly with abandon as a gift. The realization that we are loved like that, that's the only thing that can truly inspire us to live as good followers of Jesus, that can inspire us to live lives of thankfulness, to live as Christ's body in the world. Knowing truly and deeply that we are unconditionally loved, that's all that can do it. God's Spirit and God's love know no limits. They are poured out even on the confirmed and the unconfirmed alike. If Ryan hadn't showed up this morning, you would still be loved. When we can grasp the crazy depth and breadth of that love, even for a moment, that's when we're transformed into people of faith. That's when we're transformed into God's people, into the body of Christ, still in the world, even after he has gone. When we can grasp that, even for a moment, that's when we catch fire. That's when we catch fire with that love that we have been freely given. That's when we can begin to live in a way that gives glory to God and love to our neighbors. It's when we become genuinely interested in the words of the Apostles' Creed or the Lord's Prayer, not just because we had to memorize them, but because we know that somehow they reflect the love of God. It's when we desire to keep the Ten Commandments because we know they were given to us in love, for love. Today, we might not see Ryan burst into flames up there, right? Probably hope we don't. But I pray that he is set on fire by God's love for him, and that so it will be for all of us. Fire extinguishers and flame-retardant clothing, not welcome. Catch on fire and burn, people. What might happen in our world when we do? Thanks be to God. Amen.